Hello and welcome to the Football Foundry, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm your host James and I am joined by Matt. Hello.
No, I'm not doing that.
I made the effort. That's what counts. Mm. We've had midweek football again this week. Too much football.
Can never be too much football.
There is when it's all different competitions and you don't know who's who and it's just chaos.
Well, who's who? Team name gives it away, who's who. Just...
Fair one. there were two big midweek Premier League clashes.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them being Newcastle beating Premier League champions Man City.
Yeah, my mate was at that match. Said it was decent. Well, he said City were horrific. But
yeah, who'd have thought it?
No one in their right mind.
Do you reckon Mike Ashley and Rafa had a bet on about if you go beat City, we'll break transfer record?
Rumour is that Bernie has paid for the transfer himself, so I don't think it made any difference really. But I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Crazy result though. Big 3 points.
Massive. Ridiculous 3 points.
And then another massive result midweek was Bournemouth hammering Chelsea 4-0.
Yeah, obviously, half time it was a still close game. The second half, Chelsea just got blown away.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, Sarri is having a meltdown at the minute with Chelsea. Like, he held them back for a good hour or so in changing room, didn't he, after the game?
Rightfully so.
Like, he needs to get control back over that team.
Yeah, he needs to.
And not do it publicly.
Probably just going to try to bring some of his own plays in, hence Higuain, and obviously just try to get more of influence and control over the team, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
We'll have to see how it shapes up with Higuain, but. Wow, Bournemouth 4-0. Fair play to Bournemouth, though. Like, brilliant stuff. Like, Bournemouth always play well against Chelsea, whether it's home or away. I remember the game last season. Was it Charlie Daniels?
Yeah.
Absolute screamer of a goal.
Oh, no, that was against Man City.
Is it against Man City? That? Yeah. Oh. But Bournemouth have always played well against Chelsea, though. They always seem to go there and, like, all host them or either or. Mm. And they always have a decent game. It's like Everton Man United back in day.
Yeah.
They always used to have a good game together.
Well,
I think Bournemouth and Chelsea have got that going as well.
That Sheffield United reject flipping nearly ran the show for Bournemouth in this game.
Hey, he's not a reject. He just didn't get much game time.
And now he's getting used properly in the Premiership. And
yeah, it hurts me. It hurts me. Considering we don't play Ben Woodburn either.
Chris Wilder's mental. Yeah. Well, league position, can't really complain, I suppose, but yeah.
True. But yeah, I suppose we best crack on with some news now.
Why not?
It's definitely time to be a Newcastle fan this week. beating City and then going to break the transfer record. I struggle to say his name, Miguel Almirón.
Yeah, why not?
Brilliant. Obviously joined for £21 million, breaking the previous record for Owen back in 2005 from Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Mental.
Pretty much an unknown quantity, really. Obviously, the Yank fans on this will probably know a bit more than we do about him, to be fair.
Yeah, or you BGN fans.
I know. Well, seems to be doing all right in a tin pot league, so just whether he can transfer it across.
Obviously, he's not played since December.
I think he's Paraguayan. I don't think he scored for his national team. Time will tell, really. But whether he can transfer his form from the MLS to the Premier League.
His stats for Atlanta haven't been too bad, I don't think. Played 62 games, scored 21 goals and got 21 assists. as you say, it's not as demanding as the Premier League is.
No.
But he sort of plays on either wing or could play as a number 10.
Yeah.
So he's bound to be in and amongst all the goals and assists and stuff like that. So he's got a decent return. Got to give him credit. 21 goals, 21 assists out of 62 games. That's not bad at all. I just hope he can actually do something for Newcastle and he's not a massive flop.
Might end up being the real-life Santiago Muniz or something, like, from the film Goal. Obscure, well, okay. Unknown quantity, really, then. Starts netting goals and ends up at Real Madrid.
Yeah. Well, he's only, what, is he 24? Something
he's
like
young-ish.
That.
He was born in 94, I think, I read earlier today. I think 94.
Same as me, so 24.
Well, you two have got two different lives.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of living a different life, life in the clouds as Peter Crouch comes back to the Premier League. Did you like that? I like that. That was good.
Next.
Okay. Sam Vokes has obviously gone the other way, and Burnley are getting $7 million, with Wolves set to get $1.7 million of the fee as well. I think it's a good move, to be fair.
He's always been one of. He's never really changed his game, to be truthful. He's not needed to, because it's not. His strengths have always been quite static as such, and he's got a great touch on him for such a big guy. One of England's all time goals to game ratio top goal scorers. He can do a robot. Yeah. What can't he do?
Can do a robot. Did you see the video, the announcement video?
No. I've not.
Oh, God. They had a robot, a little toy robot, walking towards Burnley.
Yeah.
Like the training ground and stuff. Yeah. They walked it through the doors into the dressing room and stuff. And the camera was basically following this robot.
Yeah.
And then Crouch comes in and kicks the robot out of the way and sort of folds his arms. Uh-huh. And the camera like zooms up to him. And it's like, oh, wow, you've actually done that. You've gone and brought the robot back.
Oh, wowza. But I've seen Pete Crouch with the robot in person. Actually, England v Jamaica,
nice.
Just random. Yeah, I was at that match. The hat trick did a robot.
The goal I always remember for Pete Crouch for England is against Trinidad and Tobago when he used the guy's dreadlocks to pull himself up.
Yeah,
Peter Crouch, being as tall as he is, does not need anything to pull himself up, and he pulled the guy's hair and he lifted himself up.
I just liked his hair,
and it's ridiculous. But as you say, Peter Crouch, the good thing about him is never really had to rely on pace because he's never had
it.
So his age isn't really a massive factor. It's his technical ability and positioning that make him who he is. And Vokes was really sort of rotting away in Burnley, in a sense, because they've got Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes, who they clearly prefer. And Vokes is sort of mixed in within that, and has never really had a massive impact for Stoke, for Burnley. But he could do bits for Stoke, I suppose.
He could.
So having Crouch on bench is a massive game changer, because with the way Burnley play, especially that long ball into box, is gonna cause problems.
Indeed.
For opposition sides.
It'll definitely give them a different dimension. So, different option.
Dice, you'll be rubbing his hands together.
Easily.
And I suppose finally, Batshuayi loaned out to Crystal Palace.
Great deal for Palace.
Did you see the thing about Roy Hodgson not even knowing about it?
He just got, well, a couple of them, I was like, we've got Batshuayi. I was like, oh, brilliant. Cool.
Like, that's great, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we actually said earlier on in the season, maybe beginning a January transfer window, that Batshuayi would be decent at Palace. Or when it was that he got recalled or whenever.
I have got a crystal ball, you know. Right. We predict these things, don't we?
Look into the crystal ball.
Exactly.
And we see Crystal Palace.
Oi, oi.
It's all we can see in his crystal ball.
Yeah, I know. It's not very good.
It's a Crystal Palace ball.
Or from the club shop.
Oh, brilliant. Great minds in that. But no, great signing for Palace.
Yeah, and brilliant.
They've got a lot of attacking threat now. They were going through a phase where they were really struggling, But now they've got Zaha, Townsend, Batshuayi, Benteke.
Don't you forget Benteke.
Yeah, our man Benteke. They've even got Max Meyer, who could play in behind.
Easily can play there.
Who else? There's a bunch. Jordan Ayew or Andre Ayew. I can never remember which one it is.
Haven't they got both nowadays? I can't remember. They all move around.
No, one's still at... Is one still at Swansea? Or is one still in Champ? I can't remember. They do my nut in with how much they move. But they've got one of them.
one of the Ayew brothers. I don't know.
West Ham, yes.
West Ham is the new one.
Is it Andre Ayew? Andre's
at West Ham. Jordan Ayew. Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So Jordan Ayew, yes, they've got. And they've got a few others as well, thought about. So there's plenty of options for our little boy to pick
Connor
from.
Wickham, Alexander Soloth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, Soloth. Forgot about him.
Aye, everyone has. Palace fans have. Yeah. Who is he? Just knelt for them.
Oh, dear. Well, transfer window shut. No, massive, really. Probably the biggest thing to come out of it was Higuain, really, weren't it?
Did you not see the big transfer?
Oh, Fellaini?
Oh, no. We've blown another lad off you, apparently.
Oh, God, yeah. The big transfer. You've also got a former Blade as well.
We got three players in on deadline day.
Stephen Skugal?
Oh, yes, we have got Stephen Skugal till the end of the season. I thought he was one of former Blade, actually.
Decent player.
Should do all
good
right.
Good for low leagues.
Yeah, I was going to say, should do all right for us. Should do all right.
Yeah. It did all right in League One, so it should be all right.
It's just come back from Scotland.
Yeah.
Super J's.
But yeah, Fellaini to China.
Man United clearly fans were probably packing his bags for him.
That's why he shaved his hair.
What, to pretend to be someone else? Where's that big tree guy with the fro? Where's he at? It's like, oh... Who's this player? Oh, I'll give him a go in the team.
Yeah, get this youth player out.
Youth player, bloody hell.
I'm pretty sure he sorted his monobrow out as well, didn't he?
God. Must have a woman on the scene. Haircut.
Yeah.
Facial skin.
New woman
out.
In house.
He must have a woman on the go.
Eyebrows done and all that. But let's talk Premier League. Oh, actually, before we do, because I've just seen the word Arsenal, they've got Suarez, haven't they?
Oh, Dennis Suarez, ain't it? Not Lewis.
Yeah, on loan. Good little deal, that. But yeah, speaking of Arsenal, Man City, Arsenal.
Mm.
So I've got some stats for you, as ever.
All right.
Start of 2018, only two teams have lost more away games than Arsenal in the Premier League. Arsenal have lost 12 away games, Huddersfield have lost 13, and Brighton have lost 14.
Luckily, Brighton have got a good home form then.
Yeah.
Well,
but to be in a record with those other two clubs, what does that say about Arsenal?
That the shirt top should be blue.
You know what? I'm taking that. I like it. Sergio...
Need a better defence. Anywho.
Sergio Aguero now has 10 Premier League hat-tricks, just one behind the record set by Alan Shearer of 11.
Not bad company to be in. Not bad company as well.
He'll get it as well.
Oh, easily. He's top drawer, Aguero. Absolutely top drawer.
The best thing is, he's improved under Pep as well, which is crazy. Yeah.
Like, he's added to his game.
Yeah, like, he never used to close down or anything, to the extent he does now, anyway.
And I think his position and movement's gone up as well. Yeah. It's just understanding of the game. I think he's just... Pep's held him tenfold, like.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And for a player like Aguero to adapt on that as well, someone who was already established as one of the best.
Because when Pep pretty much started last season, he was trying to play Gabriel Jesus ahead of Aguero, but Aguero's been able to get himself back into the team. And
yeah, because
by half, hasn't he
wants regard. He's not bothered about names, Pep, is he? So, like, if you're playing well and you're playing to the system that Pep wants, you'll play. Simple as that.
Yeah.
But here's a fun stat for you that I enjoy.
Okay.
Since Roberto Firmino's goal for Liverpool on January the 3rd, Man City have scored 25 goals in a row without conceding at the Etihad in all competitions.
Okay, 9 of them were against Burton, I'm guessing.
Did they play... Was it home against in the second leg or first leg with Burton?
First leg was home.
Ah.
Where they decimated Burton. Yeah. And I can't remember if Rotherham was at home or away.
Rotherham was at City.
So, okay.
But still, not conceding the goal.
That's more the point, yeah. They've got a month off conceding a goal.
Yeah. So. that's the main point. But yeah, that's crazy stat. The game, though, Fernandinho starting in defence, what do you make to that?
Different.
It is different, but you also look at Fernandinho and you think he could do a job there.
I'd rather personally still have him ahead screening.
But when you've got injuries and stuff and you're looking for someone to fill that gap, Fernandinho's your man for me.
I was going to say, I'm not saying he can't do a job there, but he's like the insurance of the team. So if Man City was a house, Fernandinho's definitely the insurance looking after that house.
Right. If Man City was a house, what is this podcast coming to?
I don't know. StupidAnalogies.com.
Oh, dear. The opening goal, great header from Aguero.
Was great,
inside a minute, did the same against Newcastle. Had a different effect, but he's still got a goal inside a minute. So,
It just shows us City... Definitely get up the traps quick and early.
Yeah, that fast start is lethal.
I know, absolutely.
Crazy. Koscielny got Arsenal level. And let's just take a moment to appreciate him, because I know he gets a lot of stick, but he has been brilliant for Arsenal since he's come back.
Yeah.
For me, he's always been a sort of hot and cold player. Like, he'll have a really good week, then a really bad week, then a really good week. And he's never really been fully consistent.
A couple of seasons ago, he was always brilliant. Then he went like season and a half to two seasons where he was a shadow of himself.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it was game in, game off. I think it was a decentish spells where he was either top draw, Arsenal's first player on the team sheet, or just another typical Arsenal defender, load of tripe.
Yeah. But he had that horrible injury, come back from it, and he's doing all right again, which is good.
Good, of course, absolutely.
Especially in that Arsenal defence who needs someone to perform well.
Absolutely.
Sterling with a lovely ball across to Aguero on the back post for him to just tap it in. Simple as you like, but it was also a lovely ball from Gundogan as well into Sterling. That little lofted ball over.
Yeah, great ball by Gundogan. Brilliant stuff.
He gets sort of unnoticed a bit, I think, Gundogan.
Well, they kind of tend to play him alongside Fernandinho instead of Fernandinho, so he tends to sit a bit, but obviously he has got the nous and the ability to push on and do bits and pieces like this, so he's a really good player.
I think whilst De Bruyne has been injured as well, he's featured a bit more.
He's had to step up a little bit.
Yeah, because he's playing a bit further up the pitch. He's more suited in that role, I think. I don't think he's the sort of player that Fernandinho is, where you can screen.
No, he's not. He's not.
Cover and whatnot, so I think that's maybe why he goes a bit unnoticed normally. But as De Bruyne has been injured, I know he's back in team now, but he still features slightly.
Yeah.
He gets noticed a bit more during the attack because mainly where you're going to see City in that final third attacking.
Obviously.
But the third goal was where the major talking point is. The handball hat trick goal. Even Aguero admitted it was handball, but it's one of them situations that you can't really do anything about, because that horrible deflection off Leno bounced into Aguero's path after he'd already slid for the ball. It's a bit of a tricky one, really, but I'd still count it.
Yeah, well, obviously he slides, it hits him, then I think it hits his arm. I don't think the initial was off his arm, so it's a hard one to call, really, but... I think it was rightly given, to be truthful.
Yeah, because it's not like he's got his arm stretched out to it. His arm's still sort of by his side. It's just happened to connect with his arm.
he's not Steve cooked it over the weekend and punched
oh
the ball.
Oh, my God, that were
like
ridiculous, that,
so,
weren't it?
No, I know. But
crazy.
Yeah, I'd give it.
Yeah, like it's fortunate how it has happened because it has sort of bounced off Leno, but he'd already committed to it. It's like if you slide in football and your arms are by your side and it brushes you, not necessarily going to give it because it's just sort of brushed you on your way through sort of thing. But
yeah,
it's a similar sort of situation. He's committed to going in for it and he's just bounced off him. Not really much you can do about it. So
absolutely.
I'd give it. And well, clearly it was given, but
yeah, exactly.
So that leaves City, as it stands right this second, 2 points off Liverpool. But we do have
getting battered right now. Anyone but Liverpool.
I'm gonna actually see what the current score is of Liverpool v West Ham.
Hope they get stuffed.
It's currently 0-0, 20 minutes in as we're recording.
Okay. Okay.
So I'll keep an eye on that and let you know any different. But yeah, 2 points off. The gap's getting closer. Unless Liverpool win.
Fingers crossed you don't. Anyone but Liverpool.
West Ham are the type of team that'll pluck a result out from anywhere though, so
be better.
Chelsea Huddersfield. After the midweek defeat, Chelsea needed something big to bounce back on. And a couple of stats before we do talk about the game, because I love my stats. Chelsea last scored 5 goals in the Premier League in December 2017 when they beat Stoke 5-0.
Yeah, okay.
You'd think with the attacking power that they've got, they'd score quite a lot quite often as well.
Yeah.
But apparently not. Huddersfield have failed to score in a league high of 13 different Premier League games this season. Poor.
Just a tad, isn't it?
And another Huddersfield stat. The Huddersfield last won in a top flight game against Chelsea. Get this. Back in 19.
Liverpool just scored. 50. Sorry.
What? Oh,
Sadio Mane.
Oh, it's not popped through on my thing yet.
No, I've literally just searched live commentary on this. Well, oh, anyone but Liverpool. Carry on.
Huddersfield last won a top flight game against Chelsea back in 1954.
Yeah,
winning just 1-0. Since that time, they've lost 6 and drawn 4 in the last 10 top-flight meetings between the two.
Chelsea obviously is just a better team, but yeah, we know this.
Yeah, it's quite good, but considering it was 1954 that they last won. Oh, dear. But the game. Now, Higuain obviously got the opening goal. Oh. It was a lovely ball. Kante into Higuain, who smashed it home.
Absolutely. Great, but like you say, great ball by Kante. Higuain quickly looks up and just smashes it near post past keeper. Great goal.
It looks really decent, Higuain. He looks sharp. He's clearly worked on his fitness because he looks a lot slimmer than what he did a few weeks back.
Doesn't look fat.
Yeah. And he had plenty of chances as well to get even more goals.
Yeah. But, he looked decent, actually, in this game. Higuain. Really decent.
Yeah, give him a bit of time and he might be able to do some damage. But saying that, we've seen a strong start from previous strikers for Chelsea in the past.
Morata.
So we'll see how that one plays out. The penalty, which Hazard scored, wasn't a penalty at all because the first contact was not in the box.
No.
A good yard or so as well, not in the box. It's not even like it's marginal.
No.
Poor decision.
Yeah, quite unfair on Huddersfield, that, to be honest. Really unfair.
Yeah, because for me, when you're only 1-0 in 16 minutes, you've got time to sort of pull it back together. But then to give a penalty away just before half-time, you're going to struggle. It's going to deflate you even more. To come back against a Chelsea side that's 2-0 up is going to be difficult, but... Yeah, it just changes game. But was that on the linesman's side of the pitch or not? I can't remember.
Off the top of my head.
But if it was, then that is poor officiating right there.
Talking of rubbish linesmen, apparently James Milner, who was clearly in an offside position, but the linesman flag doesn't go up and Sadio Mane swivels to fire Liverpool ahead. Shouldn't have counted. Cheated. Oh, my God. I've got a live image. He's Milner's offside. Boom! Should be 0-0.
Oh, I love these live updates that we give that's in the past for everyone that's listening. It's great.
But you get a live reaction. Live reaction of Liverpool cheating.
Speaking of lovely balls into the box, I had to put into the... Oh, no, because that doesn't sound right either, does it? Anyway,
sounds weird, mate. Sounds weird.
Lovely ball from Barkley into Hazard, who skips the keeper and makes it 3.
Great feat here. Ridiculously good feat here.
Yeah. This Hazard kid's all right, isn't he?
Does bits, doesn't he?
Yeah. And a bit unnoticed, but I think he'll be a decent player in a few years.
Give it a year or so. He might actually be a big club and people might know him. He might be dominating world football. You just don't have
Exactly. Exactly. I think Real Madrid will be a good fit for him.
You know what? No one's ever suggested that before. I could see that happening, you know.
And I thought I were only one that had that opinion, but I'm glad you share it with me as well.
Real Madrid, I think that could happen. Yeah.
Higuain's second. Wow.
Take a boost.
That's all I'm going to say. Just wow.
That is a finesse outside the box goal from FIFA 101, that is. It's just...
Yep. You can actually tell that he's a world-class striker. The way that he takes this on, bends it with such class.
Yeah, he just rolls it back to me, just steps onto it. Like, you know, I'm just going to whip it round top bin.
Kante is thriving in this little playmaker role in this game, isn't he?
In this game, yes.
I made sure I said this game.
Yeah. Well, mate, if you were playing in this Chelsea team in the Kante role, you probably would have looked decent as well. So,
not in his old role though. No.
In this current role,
David Luiz with a late goal to make it 5.
Yeah,
header from the corner, massive deflection, but it still counts.
Exactly, still counts. Luiz takes it. Game, set, and match.
Rule 5-0.
Right.
Done. City later, Huddersfield. But Sarri, the thing of how more interesting is, at the end of the game, he said, I hope in future we won't need a huge loss to find the right mentality to play and win games.
It's fair enough, that. Absolutely fair enough comment.
That's a lot better than his comment of, I can't motivate these players.
Well, after you, Chelsea managers have been unable to... West Ham have scored! Mikel Antonio!
Mikel Antonio!
Anyone but Liverpool.
Do you know what? I'm saying West Ham 2-1. That'd be great.
I'm not watching the match. My screen just flashed and jumped a little bit. It was across. Goal! West Ham! Antonio. So, no idea how he scored it. But, yep.
They all count.
Chelsea. Yeah, no one can manage Chelsea and motivate the players, it seems. Really?
Yeah, it's seems like the job that... I don't know.
It should be quite an easy job to an extent, obviously. Yeah. But
with the quality of players that you've got, because you're not lacking in any position, really. I'd say maybe... No, not even at right-back, because you've got Azpilicueta there now. Every position's covered, and you've got plenty of depth.
Maybe it's just more a mentality thing of that team. I don't know.
Yeah. But if it's the mentality and if it's the names that are the problem, there was the option to sell Willian to Barcelona. Sell Willian. You've got Pedro, you've got Hudson-Odoi. If Hudson-Odoi is as important as Willian and Pedro, then why is he not playing? He wants to play.
I know he wants to play. I don't get the whole... They keep him, they reject decent money for him, and they're still... Yep. Unless he's got a plan for him next season, or he's just worried that he gets a couple of injuries and he'll have to rely on Hudson-Odoi.
Oh, well... It's happening at Chelsea. It's all happening at Chelsea.
Yeah.
But We'll move on to some other Premier League games. Spurs beating Newcastle 1-0, and Son saved Spurs. He's so crucial to Spurs.
My mate was at this game as well. He went to both Newcastle games.
There we go. Just random. Clearly a Newcastle fan.
He's not. He's a listener.
He's a listener?
Yeah.
To us?
Yeah. He's been on the show.
Oh, I know who it is.
Do you?
I know who it
Do
is.
Do you?
It's top of the board. Listener. It's
the one who's quite sharp. Yeah, him.
Yeah. Son has got 11 goals in 14 games for Spurs.
He's class. He's definitely going to be up there. Like, well, he should be mentioned for like PFA Player of the Year and stuff like that. He's been that good, I think, for Spurs this season.
He's modest, though. He got asked that after the match,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, that's...
And he's modest.
He doesn't think he's in that bracket. I don't think he is, but he's definitely going to be in the shortlist. Like,
yeah. Like, it's proven how vital he is because of how consistent he is. And when they need someone to step up, he is always that man that steps up. When someone like Harry Kane and Dele Alli are out, he steps up. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But one thing I did notice about Spurs in this game that really frustrated me, and I wanted to air my anger on Spurs started with Lucas up front, which is fair enough. They wanted to rest Llorente, etc. Get it. But when you're playing with someone that's like 5'4" up front,
let me guess,
you do not
to whip the feet.
You do not whip the ball into the box as if he is Harry Kane or Llorente. If you're going to do that, that's perfectly fine, but switch Lamella and Lucas, because Lamella's got about a full foot on Lucas. So, like, they didn't change the play style at all. And then they brought Llorente on, and then it was working for him, and they got the goal. Like, oh, it's bizarre.
Just a tad, but obviously, Poch will be happy. They won, so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just can't get over Lucas's header. He should have had that. It really hurt me. But Everton Wolves. Wolves winning 3-1 at Goodison Park. Has Marco Silva's time come to an end with Everton? Or coming to an end?
Obviously, Everton aren't happy with him whatsoever. Like, their home form.
Nope.
Like, well, they're just their general form, to be truthful, has been ridiculously poor, considering how much money they've spent. He's trying to change the style of football from Sam Allardyce to his, well, attractive form of football, I suppose. But
yeah,
maybe he's doing too much too quickly. I don't know. It's just
the thing that I think is I've always defended him because I like him as a manager, and I think he has got bags of potential. I sort of compare him to Eddie Howe because him and Eddie Howe are sort of the similar age. They're at a similar sort of place in their careers where they're at that point where they're progressing and they've got that potential to become a brilliant, brilliant manager. And they're at the similar level. The one difference is Eddie Howe knows where he's at and he knows what he's got and how to play against the bigger teams, you see, against Chelsea, etc. Whereas Marco Silva, with this Everton side, he thinks it's a bigger club than what it is. I don't know if I'm wording this right. Basically, when they play against Man United, Spurs, Liverpool, City, they don't change the play style in comparison to when they play like Huddersfield.
They treat every game as the same
because
regardless of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes that works, but for your bigger teams. So City can go into every game the exact same and go
pretty
for
much,
it pretty much. But Everton, they're trying to play the dominant football, which works against the lower tier sides like your Fulhams, your Huddersfields, etc.
Yeah.
It works. But when you go into somewhere like even Wolves, for example, it wouldn't work against Wolves because they're equal in what sort of ability they've got in the team. You could even argue Wolves have got better ability in the team in certain areas, especially midfield. But it's the changing of play styles that gets me. Like, it doesn't seem to adjust depending on who he's playing against.
I understand your point.
But either way, though, that new signing that Everton made played well. Covered quite a lot of pitch. Shame he only lasted about 2.5 minutes, though.
Yeah, great signing.
I am on about the cat that ran onto the pitch.
I know you're on about the cat.
For those who weren't aware. Oh, it's apparently really, really bad luck in Portugal, a black cat. I know there's a whole persona there.
I was going to say.
Yeah, but they're really superstitious about it in Portugal. So,
well, Wolves is Silver's Portugal's team, to be fair, so...
Yeah, the old Wolves team is Portuguese.
Pretty much.
And Silva's Portuguese, and what's his face as well?
What's his face? So, Andre Gomes.
There's all sorts of Portuguese players on that pitch.
Okay.
So the bad omens were going everywhere in that game. But Gomes, cracking goal.
Really good player. I really like him. I really rate him. Like last season, I was on the Mario Lemina hype train at Southampton, saying that he should be at a bigger, better club. I really like Andre Gomes.
Now he's Gomes.
Yeah, really like him.
Yeah, but besides that goal, Everton just looked deflated, especially in the second half. Like there was just nothing going for him. Like stupid tackles in middle of pitch that weren't necessary, picking up stupid cards. And then obviously falling apart and Don Dekker getting his goal.
Yeah, I know, he finally did something for Wolves.
Yeah, it's quite ironic because a couple of weeks back we were saying that we wanted to see him do something. Yeah. And now he's playing and he's getting goals. It's crazy.
No, it took it well. Just blasted it into the roof of the net. Like, but no, it was decent. Absolutely decent.
Yeah. And then we got Brighton Watford. 0-0. The most interesting thing about this game is Javi Gracia becomes Watford's longest serving Premier League manager.
Yeah.
Just 39 games. How mental is that when you actually think about it? Longest serving Premier League manager, just 39 games.
Just shows that Watford have got itchy trigger fingers, haven't they?
Like, so there's only one manager before Javi Gracia that has finished a season.
Bad.
Or maybe not even that. No, maybe coming halfway through the season.
I think it'll be more case of that, to be truthful. I don't think they'll start with a manager and done the whole season. I think they'll get someone in January, then they'll last till the next January, then they'll get someone else in. Because, we're not doing as well as we should be. Well, you're actually doing quite well in the league, and they just get rid of a manager because that's what they seem to do, to be honest. Because
you were sat fourth and you've dropped to eighth.
Why are we challenging for the title? Are you mad?
We want to do a Leicester. Burnley Southampton 1-1. Burnley are starting to turn things around, I think.
Obviously, the first penalty in about 7,000 games in this match. Should have had two. When he got booked for diving, it was a penalty.
Yeah, straight up penalty. He was going absolutely mental. I do not blame him.
No, I don't blame him. I'd be doing the same. I get signed down, clear as day contact on you. He said, get up. It was a dive. It's like, mental. I would have been screaming at the ref as well.
It was 68 games, to be precise, as well.
7,000 is quite close.
Yeah, close enough. That's still crazy, though. First penalty in 68 games.
Just shows they don't get the look, really.
Yeah. Mental.
Yeah.
They've started to get a couple of decent results together. And I'd consider this a decent one as well. Decent result for Burnley, considering the uplift that Southampton have had recently.
Yeah, obviously Southampton have been one of the form teams in the league, to be honest.
From
all accounts, it was a pretty boring game, to be truthful, till the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, when there was actually some goals happening. But fair result all around, to be fair. But
yeah,
Burnley will be definitely happy. And I don't think Hasenhüttl will be too disappointed either, because...
No, I mean, it was unfortunate how the equaliser came about, 94th minute penalty. No. Like, it's a bit... unfortunate, but Burnley should have had a penalty early on, so it's sort of justice done.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
So it is what it is. Like, they'll both be happy for a point, like you say.
Absolutely.
But speaking of points, Fulham are desperate for them, as Palace took three away from them. being 2-0.
But we all know what the talking point from this match is, right?
We know exactly what the talking point is. Just let's hang fire. We'll get to it, Matt. I know you're itching to talk about it.
It's a positive. I can't believe this is like a football family first here.
Overhead. Bedecking.
Whoa, don't give away clues. It might not be that.
It's a standard result, really. Fulham just haven't got started this season. And the managerial change hasn't really done anything.
I think this team's dead and buried, to be truthful. I think them and Huddersfield are definitely two of the three going down.
Yeah, and then the last spot is for someone else, but we don't know who. Yeah, I'm game with that. But they had the midweek win against Brighton, which were good. Came back from a 2-0, being 2-0 down to win 3-2. Good stuff for them, but they're not doing it in games where it really counts. Obviously, the Brighton one, it did massively count for them, but they've not done it against Cardiff, Huddersfield, even Palace.
The issue is
Newcastle. They're
always conceding goals. Yeah. They're always conceding. They are able of scoring goals. I know they didn't in this game, but they can score goals for them, but my God, they can't keep a clean sheet. Fulham could easily score two goals in this game and get beat 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
But we're there, Matt. Benteke looks lively, doesn't he?
God, that overhead kick, it was oh my God.
It proper smashed onto, but I was thinking, are you in a Villa kit? What's going on here?
He'd been possessed. Spirits have come down. It was like Space Jam. He was one of the alien things who've now taken Ronaldo's skills. It was such a confident. Who's this guy?
Yeah, do you know what? I actually genuinely thought, who is this guy? Because
his brother.
He's slimmed down a lot as well. He doesn't look as stocky as he did.
I don't know.
I think he's really trying to sort himself out. And he's got that
who
confidence.
Who have Palace got next? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know, actually.
Palace's next game could be the game.
What, that he gets his goal?
Yeah. I'm feeling it.
Right.
Let's see. Don't say City or Liverpool, then obviously that's a bet void. But if it's someone
do you know what?
Possible, who they're playing?
Saturday.
Don't say Huddersfield. 9th, don't say
the
Huddersfield.
9th of February.
Who they got?
They've got West Ham at home.
Benteke scoring.
At Selhurst Park.
Benteke is scoring.
And after that, they've got Leicester away.
Maybe not. So
back-to-back games.
Then Benteke got late run for top goal scorer in the league.
And then after that, they got Man United. Can Benteke be the one that ruins Solskjaer's day?
I'm not taking that bet, but I think Benteke can score in the next game. This time next week, I'll be like, you get to the Palace game, I'll be like, I told you. It's we know.
He looks good. And like we were saying earlier about all the attacking options that they've got, he needs to be looking good because his days could look numbered with Palace.
And if he leaves Palace, I don't know who's going to take him.
Exactly. Because he's not really done much, has he?
He will have to drop down
or go to a team that's just come up.
Sheffield United.
You're saying we're going to come up?
No.
Thanks.
Drop a division.
We are actually going to do a little bit about Championship and who we think's coming
I've
up.
I've seen him. Well excited.
Oh, well, got that tingle. But yeah, Benteke is looking lively. Hopefully he can keep it going. Speaking of looking lively, Cardiff beating Bournemouth 2-0.
This was written.
Huge.
This was written. This was going to happen.
Yeah. Huge result for Cardiff, this one.
Yeah.
Especially after the Bournemouth 4-0 win over Chelsea. Cardiff did look like they were coming into a tough game, but they did brilliantly. And it was a great tribute to Emiliano Sala. From everyone involved, from Bobby Reid, the fans, Cardiff, and even Bournemouth as well. We've not really spoke about it much on podcast because we don't want to keep bringing negative.
Plus, it's developing every week at the moment, so it's going over the same points. This week, this is now being discovered.
There's new things every day with it. They're calling off the search, they're calling it back on.
It's a sad thing. So
it's a bit of a touchy subject as well to go into in a podcast. So will not dampen people's spirits with it. I mean, it is a horrible moment for everyone involved. Of course. But hey-o. Written in the stars, as you say, for Cardiff. So, but massive result for Warnock, and he did get quite emotional after the game.
Yeah, you can tell. It's been really tough for him at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. He still managed to say that it was all for the fans. It's all about the fans.
Sharon.
Typical Warnock style.
Love Sharon. Tea on table. Can't wait. It's been a tough week. She's making me special tea. Cheer us up.
I feel so bad for him, you know, because I feel like he'd have been such a brilliant striker for Cardiff.
Well,
we don't know, do we?
It's like...
No, it was big break as well. It's a shame. Wow. But as you say, we don't know. Stuff's still coming out every day. But Leicester, Man United. They're going to win league, aren't they?
Who, Leicester?
Either. Man United.
I don't think Man United will win the league. No, I don't go along with that.
No. If they keep going where they are, they could do.
winning
every other game and getting a draw.
We need West Ham to score, but I'm worried because it's saying Liverpool dangerous attack. It's froze on that for a little bit. I've now gone off live commentary. I'm on the betting app watching there. Oh, yes. West Ham safe possession. Yes.
There we go. That's half-time. What we want.
Just gone half-time.
Half-time. There we go. Half-time result 1-1.
64% possession Liverpool.
That's, to be fair, West Ham seem to be doing all right. If that's the possession that they've got.
Liverpool, four corners. West Ham have had one. Any shots on... Oh, here we go. Shots on target. Two shots on target for West Ham. Three for Liverpool. Been pretty even. You'd expect Liverpool to dominate possession, wouldn't you? But by that, it looks even.
Yeah.
Whoa, shots off target. West Ham, come on down. 4-1 to West Ham on shots off target.
Ooh, here we go.
Well, there we go. That's all the stats I've got so far.
Yep, half-time stats with Matt. but yeah, good with Man United keeping that little run going that they've got.
Yeah, Rashford took his goal well. Great ball by Pogba over the top. Rashford should have scored early with a header as well, to be fair. They could have been 2-0 in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Leicester as well getting the draw against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Midweek. Big slabhead popping up.
Good lad, slabhead. Anyone but Liverpool.
Anyone but Liverpool. So I suppose we best drop down into the Championship.
Okay. Now, let's talk Championship.
There's been a bit of a tasty affair in the Championship because we're not exactly sure who's going to come up. Because at the beginning of the season, after the first few weeks, you'd have been like, Leeds have got this. Leeds look unbeatable. Like, they are incredible. But Bielsa has got this thing where they start off amazingly with whatever team is at.
Yeah.
And then towards the sort of mid to end stage of the season, they drop off really bad.
Well, for my league predictions, I had West Brom to win the league and Leeds to get automatic.
So second place.
No, top two go up. So currently Leeds are getting me like maximum points for their league position, but West Brom aren't.
There we go. But we have got quite a medley in there, and it could actually end up being anyone's at this point. 7 points separates first from fifth. Yep. And as we know, 7 points is not that big in football nowadays.
Not
you
really.
Can turn that around within a couple of weeks.
If your team start playing each other out of this five and someone drops points unexpectedly. And...
Yeah. Well, Leeds lost to Norwich and they've got Middlesbrough next.
Poor, tough game.
So they've got a couple of tough games back to back there. So that could be anyone's again.
Yeah.
Sheffield United drew against Norwich, and not in the last game, but they drew against them recently.
Yeah.
And then have Aston Villa coming up next. So
he must be hoping again, Billy tough. Sharp's just still banging them in.
Billy Sharp's always banging them in, and he's still got a sock down his trousers as well. Norwich have got Ipswich coming up. That's an easier win for them.
Yeah,
like I don't know what's happened to Ipswich. They were in playoff like most of last season, just pushing for it anyway.
Swings and roundabouts, ain't it? I don't know, but they've just dropped off.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then West Brom travelled to Stoke. But Darren Moore is doing an excellent job with West Brom. We said that we think he'd do an all right job for him.
Yeah, we were fans of him last season. Yeah, we were fans of him.
Yeah. We were on that Darren Moore hype train, we were still aboard it.
We were loving Darren Moore last season with West Brom.
I think we're the same in wanting English managers to do really well.
Plus, that's his club, really. Darren Moore, you associate him with West Brom, so you want him to do well for his club.
Exactly.
Plus, game for English managers.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you called Stephen Presley and he's Scottish manager, he's Scottish and he manages Carlo, then we like him too. But...
Oh, dear. But, yeah, who do you think's...
Leeds!
Leeds going to win the league?
Yeah, I think so. I think Leeds. Norwich look good there. So do Sheffield United and West Brom. Middlesbrough, not so much.
Yeah, I think out of them, I know I'm a bit biased about Sheffield United.
Sheffield United look good, though. They do look good.
Yeah. Like, it's the unique style of football, isn't it, that gets people?
You'll choke and you'll end up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's how you'll have a problem because you'll have I fully expect you guys to have a run of 4 or 5 games where you get a couple of draws and you drop a few points and you start hanging on to the playoffs. And
well, we did over Christmas. We were sat mid table at Christmas,
but we've had a good run last season.
Yeah, we were top at table by Christmas and then dropped right off. Like it's one of them with Sheffield United. But I do agree with you saying Middlesbrough will be the ones that'll sort of choke and not get as far as we'd think. But I'd hope West Brom do something.
I like West Brom.
I'd love Sheffield United to do something.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Love it if they got into
love it, I tell you. Love it.
I'd love it if we beat them.
Love it.
I think it'll finish how it is, if I'm being honest. With Norwich at top, so Leeds in second.
You think you're going in playoffs with the advantage, obviously, by being top of the playoff groups?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think West Brom could cause us some problems.
So who's currently sixth? So who would be playing the playoffs right now then?
I think it's Derby. Is it Derby County?
Derby is sixth. I hope so. I've got them to win the playoffs in the pre-season predictions. Yeah, let's go Derby. Derby can smash you over two legs.
But I think it's a really close championship and it literally could be anyone's.
Yeah.
But I would like to see some more classic teams come up into the Premier
classic.
League. Like Leeds, Derby, even Norwich, I suppose. They were in it.
So you're not happy to see new teams in the Premiership, like your Bristol Cities or your Brentfords or people, teams like that?
I do like that.
Last season you had Huddersfield for the first time, didn't you?
Yeah. I do like that, but I can't see it happening.
I see Leeds should be in the Premiership. Leeds have got the fan base.
Yeah.
I know most of them are a bunch of icks, but censored myself there. But not as bad as Liverpool, but they're up there. But
anyone.
Amen. Hashtag. certain clubs in the Championship, you see, for example, your rival, Chef Wed, they've been in the Premiership. Like, when they were in the Premiership, they were there. Yeah. Villa should be in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Teams like that. Yeah. Birmingham. That's England's second city, Birmingham, isn't it? So it's like, there should be some representation there.
Yeah. Like, I like the classic clubs coming back into the Premier League and trying to establish themselves again. Like, I like Wolves coming back into it. I know they're not necessarily classic, but you go back 10 years, they were an established Premier League team.
Go back 26 years, you can get Oldham back in, can't you?
Yeah, like, things like that would be great. I'd love it. And, like I do like the Huddersfield thing as well, where the newcomers into the Premier League and stuff. Like, it's good, but this year, it's got a bit classics that are coming back.
Like I said, I would be happy to see Leeds because you get some good like derbies as well. Because obviously Leeds Manchester United is probably, I think it's Leeds' biggest game for a Leeds fan. I think Man United will be their biggest game, but
everyone hates Leeds. Like, it's just Leeds have got a rival. Any game that Leeds play, it's a rivalry, 100%. Just we all hate Leeds. That's just what it is.
Yeah. I've been to Elland Road so many times with Carlisle, and the fans are idiots. I'm telling you, not all of them, but.
To be fair, you could say that about any team nowadays. Though, yeah, but always got them idiots there.
They're called Dirty Leeds for a reason, aren't they? Because of the way they played in the 70s, and the fans haven't evolved.
Move with the times. Just everyone's out throwing cabbages and fruit and veg at Steve Bruce. That's what I want.
Because he looks like a cabbage.
No, because he's Wednesday boss now. Oh. Who was it that threw the cabbage at Steve Bruce?
I can't remember.
Is it last season or this season?
I don't know. I do remember that. What, this season when he was at Villa?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Someone threw a cabbage at him, and I can't remember who or why, but it happened, and it was brilliant. but I suppose it's best to end the show, because my attention span is going.
Yes.
So we best go. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by finding us on Twitter.
At Footy Foundry.
You can find us on Facebook.
Football Foundry.
Yeah. And you can also go to our website where you got all the episodes up to date. Bit more information about ourselves on there. And you can find that by typing in
www.thefootballfoundry.com.
I can actually imagine people sitting there typing www.
I was going to be a tit and spell it like www.thefootballfoundry.
Well, you've done it now. So
.com.
There we go.
.com.
There we go. Be sure to check out our partners, the Beautiful Game Network. We've got a whole host of football podcasts to suit your needs.
Soccer
from overseas.
Ball. Soccer ball podcast. Yep. At BGNFM, by the way.
Yep, there we go. And also a huge thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves. They are the official scarf supplier of the MLS, USL, and US Soccer.
Soccer.
You can get yourself a custom-made scarf at
roughneckscarves.com.
Brilliant stuff. Right, well, tatty bye for another week, I guess.
Tally ho. Off to watch the second half of watch West Ham dominate Liverpool.
Hopefully so. Hashtag anyone but Liverpool.
This podcast is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or BritpodScene on Twitter to find out more.